is Yusuf.
And this is In-Flight Entertainment.
Yes, and we are still in the full swing of celebration LGBTQ month. And love is love. Love everyone. Love everybody. Thing, all that, all pronouns, all that is all welcome in the house of In-Flight Entertainment. Speaking of house, this throwback Thursday episode involves not a house, but a club, if you will. And this club is called The Birdcage.
Yeah, which is actually based off of a French movie. Mm-hmm. But I won't attempt to say the name.
Gotcha. Yes, released in 1996, starring the late great Robin Williams, Gene Hackman, and what's his name? Lane. I'm about to say Diane Lane.
Nathan Lane.
Oh my God, Diane Lane. Yeah. And
well, we have Diane Weiss.
Diane Weiss. Yes.
Lane.
Right. Allie McBeal herself, Calista Flockhart, was in this movie.
Yep. And Hank Azaria.
Oh, Hank.
Yeah, so Birdcage, let's see what the IMDb description says. It's a gay cabaret owner and his drag queen companion agree to put up a false straight front so that their son can introduce them to his fiance's right-wing moralistic parents.
Yeah.
And it was based off of a French movie, La Cage aux Folies, whatever. It came out in 1978, and that description is the manager of Saint-Tropez nightclub featuring drag entertainment and his star attraction are a gay couple. Madness ensues when his straight son brings home a fiance and her ultra-conservative parents to meet them. So, yeah. It'd be like if someone brought home Ted Cruz and his wife to meet the family.
Yikes.
Right?
Yeah, we do not want that reboot at all. So this movie was released March 1996. Now, in 1996, the shows that were catching our eyeballs, going from 5 to 1. Again, I got to look up this show, The Naked Truth. I don't know who was in it. Friends, number 4, Suddenly Susan. That was a Brooke Shields one, right?
Was that? Yeah.
All right. Suddenly Susan was number 3, Seinfeld, number 2, and George Clooney in the Game was rocking in the ER, number 1. And the song was One Sweet Day by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men. That was like their ballad. Actually, it was a pretty good ballad. Actually, it was a good slow song to, you know, be all in the mood for. And also, speaking of 1996, can we talk about like the movies that was released in 1996?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we had our last week's throwback was 96.
Yep. Yeah, Wachowski's debut movie, Bound. Which is awesome. Okay. So, wow. All right. So, as far as, besides Independence Day, right, we had Mission Impossible, we had Twister, we had The Craft. That came out in 96. Mars Attack.
Mars Attacks. Yep.
Sleepers. We had Jingle All the Way, Swingers, 96. And I forget about Swingers. Don't Be a Menace to South Central, Watch Your Juice in the Hood, Jingle All the Way, The Ghost in the Darkness, the Michael Douglas, Val Kilmer joint, Broken Arrow, yes, Broken Arrow, The English Patient, Fear, Mark Wahlberg, remember Fear, Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, I feel like that was like his first movie or one of his early movies.
Yeah.
He plays a stalker. mm-hmm. boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And boy, like he went from being Marky Mark to that. And it was just terrifying. The switch. It was just for a long time in my mind, I couldn't get his character from Fear out of my head every time I looked at him.
That was funny. Yeah, but he rebounded. He shook off that persona when he played Dirk Diggler in Boogie Nights a few years after that Fear release. First Wives Club. Oh my God, The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oof. That was a bad.
Oof. Dead Man Walking, The Frighteners, Chain Reaction, Mulholland Falls. Wow, Mulholland Falls. Black Sheep, Phenomenon. The Frighteners, Courage Under Fire, and let's see. Oh, and Ransom. Give me back my son. And honorable mention, Biodome, and Beavis and Butthead Do America.
That was a fun movie.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And then we had this gem of a movie, The Birdcage.
Did you see it in the theater or
actually? I was working in theater. Like I said, my first job was an usher downtown Chicago. It wasn't planned in my theater. So downtown Chicago back in the day, there were like three or four different movie theaters, probably within a mile and a half of one another. And they were all operated by the same chain. So like we can get passes, like employee passes, just walk over to like the next movie theater because, you know, we get in there for free because, you know we worked in the theater. And I remember we went to see this, like a group of friends and me, when we got off work, we're like, oh yeah, the only thing we just kept saying, like, oh, Robin Williams have a new movie out. Like, that was kind of like the MO. Like, you know, like, yeah, I was like, oh, it's Rob. Yeah, Rob. Yeah, of course you're going to go see Robin Williams' movie. You crazy? But we went to see it. Honestly, it was interesting. Like, at first, we were kind of like, oh, this is different. Oh, because, you know, you expect Robin Williams to, you know, go, you know, Robin Williams, all slapsticky and stuff. But, you know, he was the husband out of the couple. He was more like the subdued, kind of like ringing in Nathan Lane's like craziness, something like that.
Yes, he was originally cast as Agador, who's the super gay houseboy played by Hank Azaria. Uh-huh. But when he read the script or when he was asked to join the movie, he actually asked if he could play Armand, who's more straight-laced, because that went against what people were expecting him to play.
Yes, exactly. I mean, he played the great. It was Robert Williams. God bless his soul. He could play anything, anyone, any emotion. That was his genius. And then we were watching the board. We were just like laughing, like Nathan Lane just stealing every scene, just like eating it up. And then of course when you have the whole plot kicking into gear with the girl's parents, like Gene Hackman and Diane Weiss, and like, you know, like these two trains are gonna collide soon. It's just like the anticipation of like the main event, which is the two parents, you know, meeting. I remember we walked out, we were like, man, that was funny. still is.
Yes, it still is. So, for everyone listening that has not seen the movie, we are introduced to Armand, played by Robin Williams, and Albert, played by Nathan Lane. Albert is the like star of the drag show, and Armand owns the business, and they're basically a married couple, and they've raised young Val, played by Dan Futterman. And Val comes home to let them know that he's engaged and he wants them to meet his fiancée. And in the middle of all of this, his fiance's parents, played by Gene Hackman, plays the super conservative senator, and Diane Weiss West plays her mom. And so they're in the middle of a scandal. Another conservative senator was caught dead, and a prostitute with him. And so it goes against their whole family values. Well,
yeah, I mean, not just any. It was a black underage prostitute.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just like, whoa, like the earth has cracked in the conservative world.
Right. So their daughter has said, well, why don't we go meet the future in-laws? You'll love them. My fiance's father is, he's a Greek businessman, and his wife is a traditional stay-at-home mom.
Yep. Yeah, at the same time, the son, Ron Williams' son, pretty much tells him, like, I need you to act straight. I need you to be a quote unquote normal in front of her parents, so this thing could go off without a hitch. It won't be any issues. Like, they see, you're a regular, air quotes, normal man and things like that. And what I really liked about it, I actually watched it for the 80th time, but it's been a while. It's so eerie now, watching, with Robin Williams, he's kind of hurt that, the son want him to not be him, to don't act like him in front of the parents. And there's a scene where Rob Williams, it's like a mid shot, and it slowly pushes in on Rob Williams' face as he kind of contemplates, and he's like at the bar. And you just see the sadness and sort of confusion and kind of the internal thinking that he's doing as a character. But knowing now what he was going through, with depression, things like that in his real life, it was just such an eerie scene, rewatching it now. Just wow, what were you really thinking about, Robin? I could have gave you a hug or something, man.
Yeah, I mean, also, I feel like the entire conversation that Val has with Armand about, I need you to fake who you are, and he counters with, I spent my entire life working to be my authentic self. I'm not going to change for anyone.
Right.
And in contrast to our new movie this week, Kiki, where these people have been kicked out of their families and had to find new families in order to be them or their authentic selves. Watching Birdcage after that, and just how dare their son ask them to change? It's so hard to be who you are. And they finally have built this community for themselves. And their son's coming in saying, I love you, but not the way you are. And it felt so much like a slap in the face.
Yeah, and it really showed in Robert Williams, his performance after that, but he think about his son's happiness over everything else. So he's, even though he's not with it, he's like, okay, for my son, because I love him, I'll do anything for him. So I will compromise for him in this instance, and that's kind of where things take off, and that's when Nathan Lane character is trying to figure out how can he help, how he can make this situation go smoothly, and which springboards into these amazingly hilarious scenes where Robin Williams is trying to get Nathan Lane to walk straight, talk straight, drink drink something straight without his pinky up, do a sway like John Wayne. I mean, is every time those scenes come, like, I try not to drink anything because the chemistry between those two, I don't know if they got nominated for like an Emmy or something, because they were on fire on screen together.
They were nominated for Outstanding Performance by Cast for the Screen Actors Guild Award. And they won.
Yes. Oh, man. I mean, the comedic timing between those two, impeccable. I mean, I hope they show like scenes like those scenes at like Second City or something like that. Like, hey, you want to see how two, you know, people like can just have this comedic timing down so well in a scene, like watch them two together. It was amazing. Those two.
Yeah, the two of them are fantastic together. Nathan Lane lives in New York, and so every time I see this movie, or anytime I see him in something, it reminds me of a time where I didn't necessarily run into him. There's two stories of Nathan Lane that I have.
Do tell.
I had a really, really bad haircut and called into this like super fancy salon, and they were able to get me in, and I was sitting in the chair crying, and I looked to my left and Nathan Lane is sitting there getting his haircut. He was like, it's going to be okay.
Oh.
And then, not my story, but a girlfriend was walking down the street. Nathan Lane ran up to her and gave her a hug and was just, I just felt like you needed a hug, and then went on with his way.
Oh, he's a national treasure, that person. Yeah,
so, I mean, he's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, is he doing plays like on New York now? Because I mean, you don't really see him in any movies. Those New York actors usually be okay, I'm gonna do like a Broadway stint on a play somewhere and for a year or so.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing the Penny Dreadful City of Angels.
Okay.
That came out last year. I don't know if that was renewed because it was not that great.
Okay.
And he pops up in Modern Family, but he's true. Mostly a stage person.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. And so once we get to the third act, you know, that's when we have the parents finally there. Oh, but there's a subplot of one of the reporters getting the tip from the driver that's taking the parents down to Miami, that they're going to Miami. So a couple of rogue kind of reporters like take it upon themselves to follow the senator and the family down to wherever they're going, because it can lead to a juicy story. So that's kind of like the C plot of it, that which makes everything come to a head at the very last scene, so to speak. So you kind of have like these two things going on in the movie in second or third act.
Yeah. So ultimately what happens is Albert, played by Nathan Lane, he realizes that he can't ever portray a straight man. And so he decides to dress up as the mom. And we get to see him in drag getting drunker and drunker as he's wooing Senator and the senator's wife. And they think that there's strange things happening in the house because they know about the death of the other senator. And really, Armand and Albert are just freaking out because they're worried that the senator and his wife are going to figure out that they're two gay men.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so everything comes to a head where the biological mother of the son shows up at dinner.
Yes.
Diane Lockhart.
The ruse is all blown, and when the senator and his wife go to leave, they're accosted by reporters and realize that they need an escape plan. Right. And then this is when we get to see Gene Hackman in drag.
And for the record, he is not an attractive lady. I mean, I'm just gonna put that out there.
No, I mean, he kind of looks like a grandmother that doesn't know how to put on makeup.
Exactly. It's like, Gene, you're just not pulling it off. Yeah. But hey, he did what he had to do. You know, he had to, you know, put his conservative views to the side and, you know, and go with the flow.
And then we get the final scene, which is the wedding. The parents all agree to let them get married, and half of the guests are all ultra conservatives, and the other half of the guests are drag queens.
They work at the birdcage. They're like the birdcage dancers and performers. I assume they were.
Be like the left side is a Kiki and the right side is a GOP convention.
Yep. Pretty much. Talk about Hank Azaria with his grisly, oily body in the thong cleaning the pool.
Oh my God. Yeah, I mean, I feel like every time Hank Azaria came on screen, he was stealing the show. He said in an interview that he realized that he was actually, he based his character's voice on his grandmother. So
nice.
That just adds a whole nother level. But yeah, he's the houseboy / pool boy. So he's often wearing like thongs or short shorts. He's never wearing shoes because shoes make him fall. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be from Cuba.
Yeah. Cuba or Ecuador, someplace like that.
Yeah. And because they're having a dinner party, they ask him to cook, but he doesn't really know what he's cooking.
And to wear shoes.
Yeah.
And we constantly see how that pans out as he walk around.
There's a scene in the kitchen where Hank Azaria has messed up the dinner. He didn't make a first and a second course. He just made a stew. And Robin Williams is really upset with him and turns around to walk out the kitchen, and Robin Williams like slips and falls. And that wasn't part of the film. That was an accident. And so if you watch closely, Hank Azaria is doing everything he can not to bust a gut. And so he just starts sort of crying instead of laughing.
Oh, that's hilarious. Man, I would love to be a fly on the wall during production of this movie. I'm sure like the outtakes are just priceless.
Like the dance. Robin Williams telling one of the dancers how to Fosse Madonna.
Matagram. But you keep it inside. See that. That's the mantra we all should live by. Like, moving on. Inside, we're Fosse Madonna. You know what would be even more hilarious? I don't know if this came out before Birdcage or after. I'm not sure, but it could have been an outtake, but it would be like extremely like long outtake. But if Nathan Lane walks into the room as, you know, as the mother, how Robin Williams come out as Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire, didn't that come out in the 2000s?
I thought that was late 90s. I want to check that.
It came out in 1993.
Yeah, yeah, it came out before. Yeah, came out before birthday. Oh. Yeah, see, so he could have did it.
He could have, yep. In my mind, he's so much older looking in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, that's gonna have like tack on all that horrible makeup to be like the old granny.
Yeah.
Oh, and before we kind of wrap it up, just want to say this movie was directed by Mike Nichols. For those who don't know Mike Nichols, he have a very, very versatile filmography. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? The Graduate, Carnal Knowledge, Silkwood, Heartburn, Biloxi Blues, Working Girl, Postcards from the Edge, Regarding Henry, a movie we reviewed, Wolf. Along with Bird's Cage, and after that he did Primary Colors in 98, and the last movie he directed was 2007 with Charlie Wilson's War, which is pretty good, actually. I kind of like that one.
Yeah, but I thoroughly enjoyed that movie.
Mm-hmm.
They captured the Houston very wealthy women perfectly in that movie.
Really? Awesome. Yeah, cool. All right. So what's our Stuck on Tarmac ratings?
So sit on the sofa, thoroughly enjoyed it, put on your shoes, you'd rather do something else, or go outside and take on the masses.
Yes. Yeah, you'd be, to me, like, if you don't sit down and watch this movie, you deserve to go out there and be sneezed on by two actors. This movie's a classic through and through. Like I said, it was only when I rewatched it again that I kind of really pay attention to the nuanced performance, so to speak, of Robin Williams in retrospect now, which kind of hits me a little more now, but still a great movie. Great movie. It's a classic. Can't go wrong with this one.
Yeah, I watched this a couple weeks ago when I was having a bad week. It's the type of movie that just sort of brings you out of your funk. It's a good movie. It's fun characters.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. Yeah, and plus, you know, like, how can you stay pissy after, you know, hearing We Are Family? You know, like, that's the most happiest song you ever hear.
And I think for Pride Month, you can find it on almost any streaming channel possible.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think I watched it on Amazon. I know it's on Hulu. It's on streaming services, let's just say.
Yeah, I think it's on Hulu and Tubi. You can find it in a lot of different places.
Yes. So there you have it, Birdcage. If you have not seen it, or if it's one of the movies like, oh, I remember it, but I've never seen it, definitely watch it. You would not be disappointed. So we will see you next week with some more LGBTQ movies to watch. Until then, we wish you all safe physical distancing and
get those shots.
Yes. Peace.